Good morning and welcome to Thursday, day 32 of the 49 days.
Woo.
Getting there. So we're going to start today with another reconnect with our breath. And easiest way to start is just to start. So we're going to begin with that more elevator down or more front of the body. So as we inhale nice and slow, just bring your attention through your pupils, then your face, your heart, your gut, and your wiggly, more yin spine, and then your sacrum and tail. So see if you can just do that a couple of times and make that almost like your attention just sort of wanders from point to point. You don't have to stop and really get into it unless you want to. It's just giving yourself a sense of flow. So we breathe out, then breathe in. Just feel eyes, face, heart, gut, spine, sacrum, and tail. And it's kind of like that six count with the breath. You might want to slow it down a little bit like that, but I don't think we would need like a 12 count. So again, the idea is just to have that sense of flow. So if we can have that experience. And the next one is to make sure as we exhale, we do the same thing with the elevator up or that more yang aspect of the back. So that way we would start with the sacrum and then spine. And because we're getting more deeply into this, you'd want to stay very erect or very kind of like you're looking over something with your spine. As you touch in on the gut and then the heart and then the face. And then the spine and the eyes come together, and it actually is going to facilitate something if we do a little wave. Little wave, I'm way overacting here. So just try that again. Breathe all the way out. And then breathe in through the front, all the way down. And then exhale the opposite way, sacrum into spine, then gut. Face and then spine and the eyes coming through with that feeling of being not, I wouldn't say intense, but definitely, very perceptive. So now let's see if we can do it as if it's an actual circle. So we'll just inhale, elevator down, all the way through, making sure your spine and tail can wiggle. And then exhale, making sure the spine and tail feel more long, more yang, and then gut. Face and eyes coming through. And it's going to take a while, but eventually that's going to become a really deep part of the practice. And we really need to, for where we're going, need to make a distinction between when the body feels yin or soft or lateral or kind of wiggly, and yang more focused and kind of tall. So we just inhale down the front. Exhale up and out the back. Really ending with your pupils and spine. So, if we have that going on, that's going to be a big part of what happens for a while. And the other thing that we're going to want to make sure we're doing, I mentioned this before, I'm just going to go through it again. If you can, when you're in your cold shower, stand with your face right underneath the water, let it pour all the way down the front of your body. Try not to like cover yourself up. I often find myself going like this. And then do the releasing breath where every part of your body's instinct to try and contract, to seize up, to guard up, to try and create some invisible boundary actually melts away. Because we're actually trying to retrain the nervous system to have a different way of interacting with challenges. And one of them is going to be just softening. And settling, and in a way, making room in yourself for whatever's happening next. So I'm going to go into a bit of a review of something, and just if you can, keep focusing on inhale down the front, nice and lateral and loose, and then exhale up the back, and then through the pupils with a little bit of a sense of like a whip, tiny bit. Okay, So yesterday we got to meet what we call your hard times twin. And again, this is the week of our face, our ego mirror, our probably one of our biggest responsibilities in life is to be conscious of what we leave behind us when we interact with people and what we carry along with us after we interact with people. Kind of goes both ways. So we want to investigate this, and yesterday we were introduced to our hard times twin. If you missed that, just imagine your parents called you up and said, "Hey, you have a twin. It's a long story," and you're going to go and meet them, and then you open the door, and there they are. And for context and compassion and learning, your hard times twin spent the last 10 years doing everything that you know would have been really a bad idea. And that could have been addiction, that could have been too much exercise and other, all the less scar tissue. It could have been the wrong relationships. It could have been an obsession with anything. So use your imagination, and it doesn't always have to be the same twin in the sense of where they decided to go into the harder times of your life. The real practice of this is to sit down and see them and notice everything that comes up in you because they spent the last 10 years destroying you in the way you're probably the most afraid of destroying yourself. Now, I know that's a hell of a way to start a conversation, but if we want to go into the deeper parts of compassion, we have to be able to go through things and not just sort of push them away. So that's why we have these practices that create an opportunity to deeply experience your ego so you can give it a nod and understand it instead of decide it's just bad for you. Because usually it's the ego that came up with that idea. Haha. So since you've had about 24 hours to think about this, I'm curious how your experience of your hard times twin is going. Do you have an image of that person? How they talk and how they dress and how they breathe and how they move and how they look. And obviously, where they're coming from in their head. Because that's the study. So who would I have become if I went completely off the rails for a decade? And the thing that we can do with this is just begin by noticing where your mind goes and to just follow it. And as you become familiar with the 5 or 10 things that you're probably gonna think and feel in reaction to your hard times twin, those are opportunities to really deeply understand yourself. So we're gonna play with that a little bit. But make sure you're sitting with the narrative experience. Oh yeah, you really didn't do that and blah blah blah. And then there's the state experience, which is are you cringing away from that version of you? Are you trying to show it that you're better than it? That there's so many ways to be a good spiritual detective. So here's an opportunity. You can stay with the down the front, up the back breathing if you want. We'll get into another option in a moment. If you want, close your eyes. Sometimes that helps people. Imagine that you're sitting in that environment, across the table from your hard times twin, and get specific. Really look at them with your eyes closed. And what we're going to learn to do is actually profoundly and deeply and patiently apply compassion to every reaction that we have. So first thing that most people experience is judgment. I can't believe you fucked up and spent 10 years doing that thing that we should have known better, and all those things. And can you actually just hold compassion for the part of you that feels, excuse me, the judgment in any way is going to help anybody really. And maybe it will at some point, but ask yourself in this experience with your hard times twin, this other you that you may have as an ally and as a deep friend and relative for the rest of your life, where's judgment gonna fit in there? And if you can have compassion for that as an experience, not as a label, you can probably start to feel where you learn to judge people in your own life. If you feel shame about this person and about the person you kind of still feel bad about within yourself, that's mirrored by your twin, can you have compassion for that shame and all of the parts of your life that taught you that that was going to help you in some way? Perhaps you feel more sorrow, you know, what this person has lost and what they represent about what maybe you have lost. And can you find compassion for sorrow? Maybe you feel angry about this person and about the part of yourself that already went so far in that direction. And you feel so righteous now about going in another direction that the whole direction part of the mind, which is really the anger part of the mind, is feeling all righteous and angry because, you know, it feels like it's right. And again, can we bring compassion in the moment for that kind of anger? So there's about 1,000 other ways we can feel really, really intensely about what our ego mirror and our hard times twin bring up for us. There's also things like profound intuition. Like here's this person that is you, that isn't you, that has 10 years more investment in self-harm in some way, you know, or self-overdoing it in some way. What's your intuition say about how to interact with this person? You know, check in with your belly. What do I really, really feel would make the boundary shift between me and this person? So whatever comes up next is going to be about next, not about right and wrong. Can we feel profound empathy? Because they are you. They just didn't find a certain place in themselves the same way you did. Can you feel forgiveness for the part that still isn't within you, that still feels the sorrow and the shame and the guilt that you're projecting onto them? Because you're really forgiving yourself. You know, we've all made mistakes. And as wise people often say, you never learn by doing it right. So, you know, this is an opportunity to actually bring some kindness, some patience, and again, this profound sense of experiential, empowered, present, tsunami-like compassion. Because compassion isn't messing around. It's not empathy. It's not sympathy. It literally means to feel the same pain. Right? So this spirit twin practice is a beautiful opportunity to find compassion for parts of yourself you clearly still have opinions about, or else you wouldn't have any opinions about what happened, or the 10-year difference wouldn't really seem like a difference, right? Excuse me. So if we can really play with the compassion, then we can go deeper into this. Because this is one of the best places to go looking for mind fish, is in these little shamanic encounters, like with a spirit twin. And if it is a lot of judgment or a lot of shame or a lot of memory, now we can go back to our transformational breath, where we can yield to that truth, embrace it, and include it within ourselves, or transform it into something that heals us, or just send it back to where all this comes from in the first place. So again, that would just be an inhale, exhale all the way, pause the breath, yield to what's coming, inhale, embrace deeply what is, and either include it in who you are and or move it on, and then hold the breath. And this is where you would image it transforming in some way, and then breathe all the way out. And we can just do that kind of cycling transformative breath. And in that way, we actually have a practice that facilitates healing with our spirit twin or our hard times twin. So, one other part of this that has to do with the breath we're working on, and this is like an integral beginning practice breath. I know it took us months to get here. Opening the front all the way down, going through all of your six minds, really connecting to your softer tail and spine, exhaling into the more yang aspect of yourself. And as you come through your pupils, it's just kind of like a, I don't know, a martial arts moment where you're really present to what's going on as the warrior. You don't have to do anything else with it. But we do want to feel that the spine is more long in that place. So given that that's what your, let's call it your self-aware self is able to do, can your self-aware self walk with your spirit twin, your hard times twin beside you for the rest of your life and notice that it's noticing a lot of the things that you do? And can this opportunity give you a sense of encouragement and accountability and reliance just by being able to say, look what I'm doing to take care of both of us. Look what I'm doing to change the momentum that we are both capable of falling into that may actually reduce our life and our aliveness and our ability to just have a lot of great experiences. So it gives us permission to make decisions and then feel the difference within ourselves as we make them, for you could say your whole karmic life, not just, breakfast. Although obviously enjoy yourself. This isn't about trying to be serious. It's just about being conscious. So another practice, and this is kind of a science fiction thing, so just go with it. We're all microdosing today. So let's say that in 10 years they figure out time travel, and in 10 years the version of you who you really, really want to be, you in 10 years, comes back to visit you. And you get a text on your phone, and it's a really cool text because it's from the future. And they say, "Hey, long story, you're from the future. I'm actually you. Let's meet for some coffee." And you go in the same thing. You open the door, you walk in, and there's you 10 years in the future who's done everything you feel you've needed to do to become completely your whole authentic self. They look the way you would expect to look. They act the way you expect to act. Maybe they dress the way you want to dress, if that's something that's on the menu of cool. And, everything else that you aspire to is right there. And this is the cool part. For the rest of your life, you can ask them how they did it. I mean this with humor, but oh yeah, 10 years ago, I took this crazy free online Facebook thing where we learned to meditate and breathe and feel our stuff. And somehow that changed my awareness. And I'm just kidding. Anything could be the tipping point of transformation and change. You have to just believe in yourself. And sometimes doing these shamanic practices where you can connect with that version of yourself, interact, learn, laugh, share, be cared for in that way, can free up a lot of energy. And it also frees up your ability to look back and see yourself for who you are. And give yourself the guidance and the humor and the information you need. Because that person did everything you needed to do for 10 years to get you where you want to go. So I'm not going to get too much into that right now because I want to give you a day to just be with both of your twins. Oh, and there's your rule. They're never allowed to talk to each other. They can only talk to you. So that's could make a really great cartoon, but yeah. It just helps if they can't talk to each other. Trust me on that. Anyway, so this is hopefully helping, and we're gonna keep going with our little rite of passage here. And if you are looking for an accountability opportunity with both of your twins, I have a 10-week health challenge that's coming up in on the 20th, and I'm gonna do a little conversation about it tonight around 6:45 on this Facebook Live thing. Just to let people know how cleanses will work. And if you want to do something, you can get a sense of how to do that on your own. And that'll just be fun. So if you're into that, I'll be back 6:45 this evening. Otherwise, I'll see you bright and early tomorrow to do some Qigong on how to age skillfully. Have fun with your twins. Have fun with your breath. Keep playing with this whole elevator down, elevator up, with your spine. Because where this is going is going to be a really interesting combination of that breath and tortoise breathing and some really tricky new things. So, a couple more weeks to go. Woo. See you in the morning. Have an awesome, awesome Thursday.